Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Time on social media. You may notice that if you're on social media that I'm not there very much. My presence is not very well known. But I do. And sometimes I find myself distracted by social media for an hour. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. So I decided, you know what? I need to do something about it. And this was a very, very awesome, beautiful week because I caught myself a bunch of times. So if you want to catch yourself, go ahead. I challenge you. Let's do this for another week. And I'll ask you right now. I mean, right now. How many of you are willing to take the challenge for a week with me? Hey, look at that. Immediately, I saw some hands. So next week, when we come back to church, yeah, you know, you can say, hey, we did this. And you remember, every time or all the time you spent on social media, try to spend some of that time or at least most of that time praying. Some of us are like, oh my God, that means I'm over praying a lot this week. Yay! You should be excited about that. Amen? Just some motivation to pray. But let's go ahead and do that, all right? But we'll continue on this weekend on our journey through 40 days of prayer. You know what? This is the fifth week. We're more than halfway through. How many of you guys are enjoying this? I mean, it's something so simple, but it's been great, right? So I want us to look today, and we're going to start looking at the Lord's Prayer, which should be our prayer anyway, right? The Lord's Prayer, and look at the ways that we could use the Lord's Prayer in a practical way to help us throughout our day. And this could be a daily thing, and it would be awesome. But, you know, you think about it, in the New Testament, it talks about prayer so many times. And you think about Paul, who's a major writer of the New Testament. He wrote most of it. And he's always telling people, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying, and in my prayers, and I give thanks to God in prayer. And he's talking about praying and praying all the time. Yet he talks about himself being weak. He talks about himself being frail. He talks about himself being a sinner. He talks about him being in need of rescue all the time. No wonder he prayed so much, and I wonder why I don't pray as much as Paul, because when I look at him and I look at myself, I think I need it a lot more than him. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the letter written by Paul to the Ephesians says, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayer, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up, and always pray for all God's people. And you may say, well, I've heard that before, but not quite in that way. Well, I'm using different translations of the Bible for different verses so that you get a different thing here with the same thing. You get what I'm saying? Get it in a different note, but getting the same message. So it says, I want you to pray in the Spirit. That's what Paul says. I want you to pray in the Spirit. And these are things that we need to be pointing out for a second here. What does that mean? It just means that you let God lead you. Listen to the impression in your mind. How many of you have ever been trying to pray and all of a sudden somebody comes to mind? You know, you're praying and all of a sudden, you know, Alma comes to mind. You know what that? You know what you need to do? Say, Alma, get out of my mind. I'm praying right now. No, that's right now. That's a moment when you say, oh, God wants me to pray for Alma. So I'll pray for her a little bit. Got you, Alma. All right. Now you got me too, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I know you do. So you see that when you're praying and something comes to mind, someone comes to mind, don't just say, oh my God, AJ interrupted me again. No. Pray for AJ. Maybe God's interrupting you for you to pray for AJ, whoever it is that comes to mind, right? Don't say, I'll pray about it later. I have this bad tendency. I don't know about you. But people tell me their prayer requests and I'm saying, I'm going to be praying for you. And then I'll forget to pray for them. Does that happen to you? You see, that's why we need to be at that moment. If Danny tells me, hey, Pastor, can you pray for this? I'm going to be like, you know what? Let's pray right now. And I'll pray even for a minute or 30 seconds, but I prayed. You see that? And if I forget throughout the week and Danny comes back next week and says, hey, thanks for praying for me. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did. Because I did it at the moment and didn't forget. You see, so when something comes to mind, that's what it means to pray in the Spirit. When you're in tune with God, God is going to tell you what to pray for sometimes. God's going to remind you of people. You see, and he says, at all times, you know, there is no bad time to pray. There is no bad time to pray. Prayer time is okay anytime. There's never an inappropriate time to pray. So we can pray all kinds of prayers, right? Because the Apostle Paul there tells us to pray at all times. And let me tell you, he doesn't specify what kind of prayers to pray. There's so many different prayers that you can pray. To pray at all times, and you can pray for so many things. And we know that there are different kinds of prayer. Sometimes we may pray to ask God for a need. Sometimes we may pray because we're in the mood to worship God at that moment. Sometimes we need to pray because somebody else needs prayer and you intercede for them. So there's so many, right? And also it depends on how you're feeling in that moment. Believe it or not, emotions do have to do with your prayers and with God. Your emotions are connected to him. He gave you emotions. Don't try to separate the spiritual from the emotional. It all goes together in a package. And if you don't believe me, have you ever cried while praying? Have you ever laughed while praying? Have you ever got angry while praying? Yes, you have. Because your emotions are completely connected. You see that in the Psalms. Some prayers are comforting prayers. Some prayers are cry out prayers. Some prayers are confessing prayers, celebrating prayers. You name it, right? In the Psalms, there's 150 chapters full of prayers and songs that you can practice. But then, you see that for thousands and thousands of years, people have prayed. From the beginning, people have prayed. So, do you want to pray? Do you like to pray? Do you want to learn how to pray? See, maybe you need to go to the Psalms and read one and say, you know what? This needs to be my prayer today. You don't even have to come up with many words because the words have already been written there by someone who was inspired by God. Some of your prayers can be written already from 1,000 years ago, and they're right there for you, right? So pray in the Spirit. Pray at all times. Ask him for everything that you need. What does that mean? You know, see, there's nothing that you cannot pray about. Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you want, whatever your desires are, present them to God. Who better than God to present them to? You see, you don't need to worry about stuff. Let me ask you something. Have you ever changed anything by worrying? Yeah, yourself. You turn into a scary cat. You turn into a depressed person. You turn into an anxious person. You turn. You turn into all kinds of stuff when you worry about stuff. You see, instead of worrying, Paul says, don't worry about stuff, but pray about stuff. That's totally different, right? There's nothing that's off limits, and you can pray at all times. Always be ready, he says, to be praying. It means that you got to have a plan. You see, sometimes you pray because it's a spur of the moment, right? Sometimes, and you pray all the time, I'm pretty sure. When you hit your finger, you say, oh my God, that hurt. You see, you talking to God or are you not? I hope so. And if you are, be careful, right? But you want to think about this. Sometimes your prayers are just spontaneous. But sometimes you need to plan your prayers too. It's very important. You need to be strategic and prepare for your prayers. And you can pray effectively, not only by being spontaneous and fresh with God, but also by planning your prayers. And at the end of that verse, he says, always pray for all God's people, which means that you're supposed to be praying for me, for her, for him, for you, for that, and for everyone that you remember, people that you know, or whatever it is. So what do? The first thing we do is we keep a running conversation with God. That's what I'm talking about. Number one, keep a running conversation with God. Keep a running conversation with God. It's an all-day thing, hopefully, right? You just talk to God just like I'm talking to you, just like you talk to any other person. Right? You don't need to use the thou and thouest and es and, you know, you just talk to God the way you talk to a father, to a person whom you love, to a person who you know. You see, I know that we have this tendency because we pray in Jesus' name. Now, we got to be careful, and I've told you this so many times, that praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean that you have to repeat in Jesus' name every time. But we do that, don't we? Because sometimes we do it from the heart, like, oh my God, I just finished this prayer, and I'm like, in Jesus' name, amen. But sometimes I just pray my prayers in Jesus' name, amen. And I keep going. And I'm just saying it because it gets tacked on to the prayer at the end. I don't think that's effective prayer. You know, I think God knows your heart if you're really praying in Jesus' name or not. And sometimes you could just finish your prayer and say, you know what, God, this has been an amazing time. I appreciate that. You know, I know you listen. And you really impressed my heart today with all kind of stuff. So thank you. I'm going to go about my day, but I know you're going to go about your day with me anyway. So here we go. And does that mean I'm being disrespectful because at the end I didn't say in Jesus' name? No. So we have to be careful to try to make some of these phrases, these catchphrases, which are pretty cool and they are meaningful, to just be like a, you know, hey, there it goes. So now I know I pray. No, you see, but we're talking about developing a habit. A habit of a relationship with God. You know, you talk to yourself, you talk to others, why not talk to God? So you got to make a switch. And the thing is that it's okay and it's good to keep a running conversation with God all throughout the day. Like I said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray on every occasion. How many occasions do you have in a day? You have a bunch of them. You can pray throughout the day. You see, going about the day and praying how you feel right now, praying how it's going at work, praying how it's going out, how things are panning out in school, praying about how things are going wherever and whatever is going on in your life. You see, I'm thinking about this. It might be also that when we're not praying enough, maybe it's because we're praying about the wrong thing or with the wrong motive. If I'm praying because it's a duty, if I'm praying out of duty and I'm praying out of responsibility alone, yeah, prayer is going to become a drag, right? Or if I'm praying for the wrong thing, you know, if think about it. When you were in school and they told you, you have to do a presentation on, and they gave you a topic and you're like, oh no, I hate that. And you went out in front of the class and you had to speak about this particular topic, which you hate. How did that feel? You had to talk to your peers. You had to talk to the teacher. And you had to make this, like, wow, what a great topic, right? What a great thing. Look at the discovery I made. Oh, man, I dug into this one. But you had to make it seem. And sometimes we do the same thing with prayers. We think that we have to pray in a way that this is what God wants to hear, okay? So this is the way I'm going to pray because I know this is what he wants to hear. Father in heaven, you are so awesome and great. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah. He likes to hear me say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, 10,000 times in my prayer because it sounds like I'm being reverent. No, you're being repetitive sometimes. So you see, if you're praying what you think God wants to hear, you're not praying a real prayer. You're just pretending prayer. But when you come to God and you just tell him exactly how you feel and you tell him what you need, tell him what you want, and tell him what you're thinking for real and honest, that's a prayer right there. Now, does that include worshiping God and everything else? Of course. We're going to talk about that anyway. So, you see, God already knows everything in your life, so you don't need to be, you know, trying to, let me fill you in on what's going on, God. No, you need to be filled in on what he wants to do. Amen? All right. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, never stop praying. Pray non-ceasing, never stopping. Pray at all times. That's all we need to do. So what do I do? Then, like I said, I keep a running conversation with God. But number two, over there in your outline, schedule prayer times throughout the day. Schedule them. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. I have a friend, not that I had a friend. I have a very dear, a good friend and brother who used to have his alarm set at a certain time to pray. And you couldn't be around him at that time because you had to pray with him. Simple. At 9 p.m., his alarm on the phone went, dee, 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 dee. That was it. If you were next to him, you're praying. Because he would stop everything and say, okay, we need to pray right now. We need to pray right now. But why? Because my alarm went off and we're going to pray right now. I'm like, okay. Right? Because he scheduled prayer. He had scheduled prayer. And we need to do that kind of stuff. I think it would be helpful if we schedule prayer. I want you to think about it, because from the beginning, there have been scheduled prayer for thousands of years. Look at the Old Testament. You see that people prayed at certain times. People prayed at certain times. Daniel prayed at certain times. He kneeled in prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and night. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean literally that he prayed in the morning one time, at noon one time, and in the evening one time? Or does that mean that he prayed through the morning, through midday, and through the evening? What will be better? Well, but it's okay if you start by at least scheduling three times a day. I mean, you schedule other stuff, so why not? You see, I want you to think about it, because in the Roman Empire, what they did is when they invaded countries or places and they took over, one of the things that they would do is they would place or build a tower in the town square in the middle of the town, and they put a bell on this tower, and it would ring six or seven times a day. And every time the bells were rung, something went on. And actually, the first bell was at 6 a.m. in the morning, or between 6 and 6:30. You know what that meant? That told the whole town, the Romans did this, that when the bells rang at 6 a.m., go to work. We don't have a bell in this town that rings for us to go to work. We have millions of bells that ring to go to work. Don't you have an alarm clock? Hello, that's your bell, right? So we do the same thing. Now, there was another one at 9 a.m. who was called the third hour, right? And on the third hour, we know that Jesus, it's talk about, remember when Jesus was on the cross, we're talking about the third hour and the sixth hour, the ninth hour. And you see, mid-morning, there was another bell that was rung. And then always at noon, there was the sixth hour, there was another bell that was rung, and that was for lunch break. Don't you love that? That's the one I like the most. But here's the cool thing. For the Romans, their lunch break started at noon, ended up at 3 p.m. Don't you like that? 3 hours. No, Raul doesn't like that, because you know what that means, right? Not only you start getting bigger, but also you got to be then until sundown at work. And you'd rather work early than late, right? You know, so here's the thing. You see, you remember, I don't know, some of you may remember, and in some countries in Latin America and Europe still, they close around noon and they won't open the shops back up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of you may remember that from the old days, right? But they used to do that. But then that means that you would be going home at 6:30, 7 p.m. at night. Then there was another bell at 3 in the afternoon, then another at 6 p.m. that meant work is done, go home. So everybody in the empire, or everybody in town, could hear the bells. Now, the Jews and the Christians in the Roman times or Roman Empire started using the bells for something else. While the Romans rung the bell to go to work, the Jews took the bell and went to pray. You see, and then when early Christianity started doing that in the Roman Empire, every time the bells rung, well, let's pray. Well, let's pray. Well, let's pray. But maybe we could do some of that. As a matter of fact, in the 1400s, the monks in the monastery started doing the bells things. And you know that even up to today, the Catholic Church still uses the bells at certain times, and meaning calling to the liturgy and calling to prayer. So it's okay. We could do that. As a matter of fact, the word in Latin, we get the word clock from Latin, which means the ringing of the bells. Clock. I know that the bells don't go clock, but that's what it was called in the Latin in language. Okay, so I want you to think about this, because the bells or the clock was not to make time speedier or to make life rush more, because it seems like when we look at the clock, all we're doing is rushing. You see, the clock was invented so that pretty much we would go to prayer when you look at the Old Testament. For us to be and communion with God. All right, so let's do that. Seven times a day I praise you, says the psalmist in Psalm 119 and 164. I want us to then take a typical day. I want us to go through the typical day praying. And I'm going to give you through the Lord's Prayer some of the things that we can do. Seven times a day I will praise you, says the psalmist. So number one, get up with gratitude. Get up with gratitude. Thanksgiving. In the morning, thank God. Get up grateful. Be grateful when you get up, okay? When you get out of bed in the morning, before you go to breakfast, before you do anything, before you set foot on the ground and start walking through your day, be grateful to God and tell God how grateful you are for Him and for everything He does, right? You see, you got a choice with your attitude when you get up. And as a matter of fact, many say that that your attitude within the first 8 minutes of your day determine the rest of the day, how it's going to go. Start the day all grumpy and see what happens all day. Grumpiness, right? Start dragging from the morning and see how long it takes you to finally take off. It'll be noon, lunchtime, and you're still dragging your feet. But when you start with a spunk, when you start and you jump and you are grateful and you get up, oh my God, that makes a change in your day, right? And I want you to think about that, because really and truly, you know that many studies have proven that the healthiest emotion that humans experience is what? Gratitude. Being grateful. That's the healthiest thing you can do, is be grateful. Start the morning with some gratitude. You see, instead of turning on the news, turn on your prayers. Amen? Instead of turning on the radio to hear the sports and see what happens, turn on your prayers. Turn on to God. Tune in to God. And I bet you it's going to, well, I don't bet anyway, but I'll tell you, it will change the way your attitude goes throughout the day. See, the first 8 minutes of the day could determine that. So be grateful. Start with gratitude in the morning. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "What do you have that God did not give you? Everything is a gift from God. And if it was given to you, how can you brag about it?" Don't brag. Just be thankful. That's not you could do without God allowing or doing, right? This morning, Brother Freddie and I were talking about that. Everything that happens is either caused by God or allowed by God. Simple as that. But it's got to be sifted through His hands first. Anything, everything that happens in this world and in life, either God causes it or God allows it. He gives it permission. He allows it. He's sovereign. He's got the power. He can do whatever He wants to stop anything. But if He allows it, don't be bragging. It wasn't you. He allows it. So thank God. Thank Him. Thank your daddy. Start your day being thankful for all that He allows and all that He does. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9. So let's think about this, how the prayer starts, the Lord's Prayer. "Well, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." You see, Jesus starts the instructions with, first of all, before you even pray, have this in mind. God already knows everything. God knows everything. Before you even talk, He knows what you're going to talk about. And we may be some of those people that say, well, sarcastically, well, why should I even talk to Him if He already knows? Well, you need to talk to Him because you want Him to talk back. You want Him to talk back to you. All right? So this is very important, right? Start thinking about God and His goodness. Our Father. Remember last week we talked about Him being a Father and how grateful we need to be? He is a good, good Father. He's caring. He's consistent. He's competent. He can do whatever. You see, and you can go to Him and be grateful for everything. How many of you are grateful for running water? Oh, my God. If you've been out in some other places, praise the Lord Jesus for running water. How many of you are grateful for indoor plumbing? Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a kid, we used to visit some of our family members up in the country, and there was no indoor plumbing. Oh my God. No, that was crazy. Anyway, right? How many of you are grateful for ice? Ha! Love ice, yeah. I'm grateful for bed. I'm grateful for sheets, for blankets, for shoes, for everything. Aren't you glad that you have a warm house to go to when it's cold, or a cool house when it's warm out there? There's so many things that we can be thankful for that we take for granted. So be thankful throughout the day for all these things. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father of light in heaven. Comes from him. So then, what do? I thank my Father in heaven for his consistent love, and I recall on all the ways he's been good to me. That's what I need to do. I need to be consistent in remembering his consistency with me. That he is constant, that he's never failing, that he's always taking care of me. He's always there. When I get out of bed and I get dressed, or I go in the shower, I'm getting ready to eat breakfast or whatever I'm doing, having coffee, I better be grateful. Because I have a pulse. Amen? All right, so let's keep going. Number two, bless God's name as breakfast. You see, you get up and you can start with a attitude of gratitude. But then you bless his name. You worship him at breakfast. Oh, my God. You see, I'm going from getting up to going to breakfast. And some of you may be saying, well, I don't eat breakfast. Still bless his name. Amen. I know you do something, whether you have a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you do in the morning, if you're a little bit more refined, that cup of tea, whatever you do, but just go ahead and thank him and be grateful and bless his name. Amen. His name is to be praised. His name, you know, give him honor and respect in the morning. He deserves it. You see, that's why Jesus said, when you pray, you go, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Be sanctified. Sanctify his name. Honor him. Praise him. Adore him. So just do that. And if you have to do it in song, then play some worship songs and do that too. You start with an attitude of gratitude and you start singing and praising to God. You know how that's going to change your life and your day? Some of you may be thinking, I already do that. Well, improve on it. There's always room for improvement, right? You see, and when we look at Psalm chapter 145 and verse 2 says, every day I will bless your name. Every day I will bless your name. Every day. Now, what's the big deal of God about God's name? Have you ever thought about that? What is it about God's name that we think, well, why does the Bible says bless his name, honor his name, and do this? His name, 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 name. I think this is simple. His name has meaning. Every one of the names that is ascribed to God in the Bible has meaning, should be meaningful to us. It tells us something about his character. Not like your name, not like my name. You see, our names maybe were chosen because somebody was named that in the family, so you're going to get the same name. Right, Lewis? Your dad, Lewis, you're going to be named Lewis, period. You got no choice, right? You see, my mama named me David, and I asked her, why you name me David? And she says, I don't know, I kind of like that name, that's all. I'm like, wow, that's pretty meaningful, mama. Wow, that carries something deep. Now, of course, when I look at the name David, and I know that it means beloved of God or beloved son, I'm like, oh, I like that. But you see, and maybe your name is a combination of two names. That's very typical in Latin America, right? You have people who have these weird names, and it's a combination of the three letters of mama's name and daddy's name, and they make something up, and you're like, what? Right? Or things like that. Or you get it from a celebrity. Have you ever seen people who name their children because of celebrity? Oh, come on. Don't tell me you don't. You have some friends who do that. I have family members who have done that. I'm not going to put them on the spot right now, but, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. But you see, our names don't carry the same meaning as they used to, right? And God's name have meaning. And God, when you think about it, for example, you have so many promises of God, over 7,000 in the Bible. Well, can you trust God with his promises? I think you can. Remember that Jesus, his name, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, his name is Faithful and True. Wow. Faithful and True. Now, if that was true, if his name is faithful and true, because he is truly faithful and he is true, can you trust him? Yes. Is he going to fail you? No. So you see, that's how God is. If God is the God or Jehovah Jireh, however you pronounce that, Jehovah Jireh means God provides. You think he's going to provide? Yes, he is, because that's his name. It's in his character. So when you look at Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. No, so he's going to be a healer, period. That's in his character. He heals. So I want you to think about that. You see, so you think about his names. And when you think about his names, you worship him. His name is El Shaddai, which means he is the Almighty. Things like that. Think about that in the morning. He is our Father. He is Abba. Who is Abba? He's Daddy. I want you to think about all that in the morning. This is very important for us if we're going to carry on through the day in a prayerful manner. In Psalm 9, verse 10 says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. What a wonderful thing it is to know that we can call upon his name like we were chanting and singing a few moments ago. Waymaker, promise keeper, right? Oh my God, you may not see directly a name like that in the Bible, but you know he is. He is all that. And the more you know God's names, the more you're going to know about God, and the more you're going to be able to relax because he's all that in a bag of chips, right? He's all that. He's all that. You can trust him. So let's look at the third phrase in the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer. It says, you know, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then it says what? Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we're going to get to that in a second. So this is the question. Do you ever find it easy to get distracted while you're praying? Do you find it easy to be wasting time and not getting done in your life and things around in your day? And you lose your focus? It doesn't take long for you to sit down when you are going to work and you sit at your desk to get distracted. It doesn't take long to go to school and get distracted. It doesn't take long to be, you know, doing something and you get distracted. So let's think about what you can do throughout the day, whether you need to pull away from your desk, go in the restroom, go in your truck, go in your car, or get out and take a walk or something during the midday of the morning, like at 9 a.m. You see, number three, at mid-morning, remember what matters most. At 9 a.m., when you're out there, you're like, you know what? This is a time for me to remember what is truly important. What is truly important? I'm going to stop right here and see what's important. And you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's important. It's important that you see what he does and that it gets done here while you're at it in your life. You see, it's kind of a redundant statement by Jesus. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because if his kingdom comes, his will be done. And if his will is done, then his kingdom has come. So think about that. What we want to talk about then is that in our prayers, right around 9 in the morning, you can stop and say, God, I want to be in your agenda because apparently my agenda is not working pretty well. And I have some things I need you to put in order for me. I need to think about priorities. Maybe I need to worry about work. Maybe I need to worry about finances. Maybe I'm worrying about politics or the economy or somebody's health or my own health or my marriage and my relationships and my children, my career. And I'm allowing all of these things to worry me. But what I need to worry about is your kingdom come and your will be done. That should be the first thing. So let me align with your agenda. Maybe mid-morning you can start doing some of that. So you align yourself with God's purpose and plans for your life. You know, God has a plan for the world. Do you know that? Now, do you know that God has a specific purpose and plan for you personally too? Sometimes we think of God like he's got all this that he's worried about. And he's doing all this throughout the world, but he's not paying attention to little me. Yes, he is. And he's got you covered. He's got it covered. He knows what he's doing. He wants to do something with you. So what you need to do is then line up with his plan for yourself and for everybody else. It'll help you get through work and everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of the other things will be given to you as well. We were just singing about that a moment ago. Lord, I seek you with all my heart. Lord, I seek you with my heart on fire. I need you. I need you. And we do. We need to seek him first, right? Well, I don't have enough time, Pastor. Well, put God first on your agenda. I don't have enough money then. Put God on your agenda. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough, to do at work or whatever. I have too much to do at work. I got major decisions to make. Then put God on the agenda first. I got too many assignments in school. Well, put God on the agenda first. All right? So throughout the day, midday, think about him and just say, you know what, I want to conform to your will. Now, let's get to lunch. Well, not yet. You first got to finish the sermon, all right? But we're going to get to lunch here in a little bit. Number four, list my needs at lunch. Maybe you could take some time during your lunch break to actually go to God and say, this is what I need. These are my needs. I want you to think about that, because when we look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Give us when? Today. Give us what? Our monthly. No. Our yearly. No. Our weekly. No. Our daily bread. You know, if you need something daily, maybe you need to talk about it daily. I'm pretty sure when you're coming home from work, if you're a man, you call your wife and say, so what's cooking? I know somebody out here who doesn't speak much Spanish, but she's always asking his wife, ¿Qué estás cocinando? Right, Ed? That's what he asks. And he asks for it in Spanish and in English and in every language to make sure, right? So, you know, that's one of the things. You're thinking, what's the menu for today? Do you guys plan your menu? Oh, don't tell me you don't, because you got to go to a freezer and pull something out. And you got to do that early, because now you get home at 7 p.m., you're like, everything is frozen. Thank God for ice. Right? No, you plan your meals. You plan to cook that meal. So let me tell you something. When you sit down at lunch, maybe you can be reminded of God's provision for your day and say, God, I need this. I need that. And let me tell you something. What does bread represent? When Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, does that mean just bread itself? You know, like flour and water and yeast and stuff? No. Does it mean just food? I don't think so. Because you may ask somebody, say, hey, you got some bread? And you know what that means? You have money. See, sometimes bread represents money. Who brings home the bacon? Who brings home? Who's the bread winner? You've heard those phrases. But you see, we're not talking about just that. We're talking about give us today our daily bread. Give us today what we need today. Whatever it is that we need. Today I need patience, God. That could be part of my daily bread. I need patience. Oh, Father, I need to be strong today. That could be part of your daily bread. That's bread for you right there. And you need it today. You need to be strong, whatever it is. You see, I want you to think about it. When God fed his children during their exodus from Egypt unto the promised land, and they had nothing to eat, what happened? From the sky, God started raining down. Something started descending. And these little whatever flakes, whatever they were called what? Manna. And they had to take it and cook some bread out of it and do some meals so everybody would eat. That was the only thing they had to eat at the moment. And what did God say? You take that manna and get some jars, get some sacks, put it together, get a warehouse, and save some for the next few years. Because you're going to be out here for 40 years, by the way. No, God said, you take that manna and you eat what you need to eat today and let it go. Don't store it because it will spoil. It'll rot. You see, it's like God saying, I can't give you tomorrow's stuff. I can't give you next week's provision. I can't give you next year's bread. You know why? Because if I give it to you, it'll rot. You know why it would rot? Because our relationship would rot, because you wouldn't depend on me anymore. If I gave you everything you needed for a year, you'd forget about me for a year. Wow, that'll preach. So let's keep going. So I ask for everything and anything that I need. I read this illustration and I thought it was pretty funny. And it may not be, you know, spiritually accurate, but just to kind of play something in our minds, a visual here, I want you to think. And the guy says, well, imagine you going up to heaven and you see all these boxes, all these packages, all these things. And you're like, whoa, what is that, oh God? And he says, those are blessings. Whoa, blessings? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go check them out. So he starts checking out the tags on these boxes and blessings. And he sees that on one tag, it says, never asked for. What? Never prayed for. Never prayed for. Never prayed for. Never asked for. So what's going on? God, he says, well, these are all the blessings that nobody ever asked for. These are all the things that nobody ever cared for or wanted or petitioned for. Now, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to be like that, but we need to go to God and ask. He's called us and he's told us we can go and ask him. John chapter 14 verse 13 says you can ask for anything in my name. Once again, tack on the Jesus name at the end and it right? No, not necessarily. But you can ask him whatever is on your mind. You can talk to him, all right? So ask for what other people need too. That's intercession. Not just you. Don't just pray for self. Pray for yourselves. Pray for everyone. Intercede. You see, that's what we need to do. Pray for others too. Be reminded of others and pray for them. And 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 says, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. If I don't pray for other people, then something's wrong with my prayers. And even the writer here says, that's sin. I'd be sinning if I don't pray. All right? So this is important. Give us today our daily bread. It's about a daily time of prayer with our needs. Do that at lunchtime if you want. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us, notice this, everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him and he knows us. We do. Now remember Philippians and what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing. It says here to be thankful. Remember from the morning I told you, you need to be thankful in your prayers. You bring your petitions and your needs with gratefulness. You know what that tells me? I need to be thankful to God before he even gives me what he gives me. And you know why I can be thankful to him before he even gives me what I need? Because I know he's going to give it to me. So be thankful in advance. And when you bring that kind of attitude, the first phrase of these verses will then happen. Do not be anxious. You won't be so anxious about stuff, right? So let's think about it. Rule number 5, ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. You may think, well, I need to do that the first step I take onto the floor from the bed. Yeah, I do that too, you know. Sometimes I need to be asking for forgiveness before I set foot on the floor in the morning. But I want you to think about it throughout the day. Hey, God, you know, search me. Look inside my heart. Try me. You know my thoughts. What's going on with me? What have I done that I need to confess to you? That's in Psalm 139. You've heard that before. You see, I want you to think about this. How many of you would like to carry a bag of garbage with you all day long? Have you ever had anything go bad in your car? Have you ever forgotten some groceries, like some meat and chicken and stuff in your car after you go grocery shopping? And a few days later, you're like, ooh, it stinks in this car. I've done that. And all of a sudden, whoa, I've been carrying this trash in the back of my car, right? And you get rid of it. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you are in charge at your house of taking the trash? How many of you are in charge of taking the trash? You better raise your hand, bro. So do you. Yeah. I know I got to raise my hand because if I don't take it out, we got a big problem. Then I'll be taken out. But I want you to think about it. What do you do with your trash? You take it out. Maybe you're like us. We put it in the garage, and then it gets transported out to the trash can, you know, every day or every other day, whatever. But if you leave it in the garage too long, right? So you take it out. And then Monday morning or Sunday night, you go place your trash can out there for Monday pickup. And then you go back inside, and you go at your window. It's still there. Wow. Wonder if they're going to pick it up. It must stink in that trash can. I haven't washed it in so long. Did they pick up the neighbors and maybe miss mine? Do you sit at the window and do that all morning? You don't. You put that stuff out and you forget about it. As a matter of fact, that trash can, they come pick it up. The trash can's empty and it stays there 3 days because you don't want to go get it. I know someone like that in my neighborhood. I look at him in the mirror. But you see, you take out your trash and you're done with it. You don't want it no more. You don't want to keep it. Well, you see, throughout the day, you need to find a place or a time for you to confess and take out the trash And don't keep it throughout the rest of the day. That's what I'm talking about. It'd be pretty dumb if you keep your trash. It'd be pretty dumb to sit there and contemplate your trash even after you're throwing it out. What I'm trying to say is Matthew 6:12 says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, you need to be confessing. This is another type of prayer. Throughout the day, you need to be confessing to God your sin. But once you confess it, I'm going to tell it to you very simple. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Enough. Enough. Some of us take the trash out of our souls and then we sit there looking at it in guilt and shame. And we continue contemplating our guilt and shame and our trash and our sin. And we just sit there and mope and mope and mope. And I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I'm the worst. And yeah, you know what? Every time I think about my sin, I think I'm the worst sinner anyway. We were just talking about that this morning too, right, brother? Yeah, because I don't know your sin. I don't know your sin. I don't know yours, but I know mine. And every time I look at myself, I'm like, I got to be worse than everybody else. But you see, we can't stay there. You pull your trash out. You take it out. You leave it out. Something will take it out and dismiss it. And that something is not just something. It's the blood of Christ. You see, as a matter of fact, I was reading another in one of the sermons of Rick Warren. He was saying that there was this one lady in particular at the church that every afternoon after the services, he'll be down at the patio saying hello to people. And this lady would always come over there and say, oh, Pastor Rick, let me tell you something. What you preached today just convicted me of another sin. Oh, my God, I'm a sinner. Oh, my God. He said, every Sunday, she was convicted of a different sin. Every Sunday, she was convicted of sin. And you know what? We start thinking about it. Yeah, the Word of God will convict you of your sin. And that is a great thing. That's the Holy Spirit doing the work. But if that's all God does, and finally, Pastor Rick had to ask the lady, is that all God tells you? Is that all the Father talks to you about, your sin? Well, some parents can be like that. All they talk to their children about is their mistakes. How does that feel? I don't think God does that to us. Is he always just pointing our sin? No. If he doesn't point it, then let it go. Guilt and shame. Carrying all that, we don't need to. Jesus carried that for us already. So I admit my sin and I forgive others that have flustered me with their sin. And Psalm 32 verse 5 says, I confess my sins to you and didn't try to hide them. Then you forgave me and now all my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. You see, we're talking about working and having a clean engine, a clean soul. How many of you guys know that if you have a clean engine, it runs smoother, faster, and more powerful? How many of you ladies know? And now this could be a little, people will be like, okay, you had to go there. But how about ladies, a vacuum cleaner? When it's clean, doesn't it work better? But when it's clogged with dirt, it doesn't work. You see, it doesn't work. So the same thing happens to our soul when our soul is clogged with sin. So when I confess, I need to be knowing that God is forgiving and letting it go. All right? Well, let's go to number 6. Ask for it to help me make wise decision. See, ask God to help me make wise decision. This is important. I want you to look at the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Help us when we're tempted to make the right decision. You see, a lot of times we think about temptation. Temptation can come in so many different ways, but we're all tempted in the same way. You see, especially, for example, you could be tempted at work because you have a boss who's bossy and you don't like to be bossed around, right? Or whatever it is. So maybe you're the type of person that, it's funny because some of the research that has been done, a lot of the arguments and fights in the home happen before dinner. Before dinner. Can you think about why? They say that 90% of arguments in the home happen before dinner. Because you're hangry. Hungry and angry. Because you come home tired. Your defenses are low. You see, you're emotionally charged because you've been tired of listening to your boss all day or whatever it is. And if you're the boss, maybe you're tired of screaming and yelling at people. I don't know. But also your blood sugar may be low because you're hungry. Hangry is what happens. If you're diabetic like me, when I get hungry, I get hangry. I do. I get irritated. And by the way, if you ever see me hungry and want to help me out, do not offer me something sweet. You don't want the big beer to come out of me. It's funny because this is one of the things that happens to me. You know, if I'm hungry, I want something savory and salty. But if you give me something sweet, I'm going to be like, really? A donut? Save it for after dinner. But this is just it's one of those personal things that I have to fight with. I don't know about you. But you see, well, they say that 90% of those arguments come about before dinner. I think the other 10% of arguments come when you're on your way to church. On your way to church. That's the other 10% of arguments in the home. As a matter of fact, this is very easily solved. I've solved that problem in my house. We never argue on the way to church. Never. It's been years. You know why? We come in different cars. Anyway, you got about 3 cars sitting in your driveway, right? No, please. You know, I'm being sarcastic with that. Don't take it like that. But we are all tempted. So we say, Lord, help me in the temptation. Maybe television is a big tempting thing for you. Maybe watching and just whatever it is that you watch or hear or do, whatever it is, maybe it's your computer. Maybe you're watching stuff on the computer that you shouldn't watch. Maybe you're watching in the TV whatever you're not supposed to watch. Maybe you're doing something you're not supposed to do. Whatever it is, but when you get home, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Remember that God gives us a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says that every temptation that comes into your life is no different than what other people experience. And God is faithful. Didn't we say that already? He is faithful that to keep you from having to fall into temptation because he always gives you a way out. He'll show you a way out, but it is up to you if you take the way out or not. So if you say to yourself, you know what happens? I can't help myself. Oh, yes, you can, because God is always giving you a way out. You just need to take the way out. It's not an easy way out, but it's a way out, and he's promised to give you that, right? I want you to think about that. You should be, you know, and this is a fight that I fight too, guys. Psalm 101 and verse 3 says, I will refuse to look at anything that's vile or vulgar. You see, I will refuse, you know. I have it in me by the Spirit of God that I can conquer over temptation. But I need to be ready, right? You see, this is amazing. Now let's get down to the last one as we go home and end the day with an encouraging truth. Always end the day with encouragement. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that you're going to sleep. Be encouraged that you're going to rest. Be encouraged that tomorrow's another day. Be encouraged that you had a day to live today. You see, end a day with some encouraging truth. Your end of the day should be a good thing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Look at how the Lord's Prayer ends. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wow, what a finish to a prayer. Jesus just finished that prayer with power, with amazing encouragement. Well, what kind of encouragement do I find in this verse? Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Well, God is in control. That's one thing that I can be encouraged with at the end of the day. You know what, God? Whatever I did today, I confess to you. Whatever happened today, I'm grateful to you. Whatever happened today, I worship you. Whatever happened, I already asked you for what I need, and you got it under control. You got it covered. You're the man. You're God, and no one else is. I can trust you. I don't need to trust anybody else. I can trust you. You see, God is always waiting for you to pray because he's always waiting to do something for you. It's a partnership. But it also tells me, it says there forever. Your glory, your power, and the honor forever. You know, this is what? You can count on him faithfully once again. And third, you see, amen. That is true. You see, he says, amen. So be it. You can count on it. He wins at the end. And if you're on his side, guess who wins? You're a winner too. So I want you to understand that the Lord's Prayer has so many things in there. And you can use it throughout the days, at different times a day, for it to help you. Instead of ending the night looking and watching a talk show host talk some smack about other people or whatever it is that you watch at night before you close your eyes, close the night with a word of truth and encouragement and pray. One of the things I do, and I have to be honest, it's a fight for me. I wrestle at night with what I'm supposed to do the next day or whatever I was supposed to be today, and I didn't do. And I go to bed, and I have to fight David with prayer, with different skills that I've learned to fall asleep. And telling myself, okay, you didn't do this today. Well, guess what? It's midnight. You're not going to do it right now, right? So put it aside, David. That's enough. You don't need to think about it because you're not going to do it right now. Thank you, Lord. And I thank him for being able to put that aside. And I start praying. And normally, I will fall asleep while I'm praying. And it may not be a prayer of 40 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 30 seconds. Or it could be 5, 10 minutes and I can't fall asleep. But I have to keep fighting and praying through that. That's one of my battles at night. I get anxious when I go to bed. I'm like, yeah. But you see, if you end with an encouragement word from God at the end, that would help. Seek his kingdom first, and everything else will work out.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.